3 this morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Miss Vashti. I know you're here. John chapter 3. It's a familiar scripture. Beginning at verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, this is an educated man asking that question, folks. I mean, he was a highly educated man. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, and listen to this answer. Or question, art thou a master of Israel and know not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. May God bless the reading of his precious word. And loving God, thank you for this time, this hour, when we, the body of Christ, have gathered together to worship thee, the true God, the living God, the eternal God, who has created all things for your own glory, for your own praise. And Lord, we bow before you this morning in submission as we give thanks and worship thee, our Savior and God, through Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts this day through your word. Give us an understanding and give us the faith to obey you and live a life that is faithful to you. Forgive us where we sin and fall short. We recognize our own shortcoming, our sinful tendencies. Cleanse us. Forgive us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to talk with you a little bit today about what is the new birth. We hear about you must be born again. That's a well-known phrase that we hear amongst Christian people. You must be born again, Jesus said. But what is that? So let's look at it a little bit from that point of view. What is the new birth? Jesus said you must be born again. That means a birth from above. Bible scholars tell us that's what it means. We must have a birth that's from above. We've had a birth from our parents of flesh. But we must remember that we were born in a race of sinners. And that's where so many people fail to recognize that the whole human family is a race separated from God. and we're a sinful race of people. Before we were born again, we were spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. We are morally selfish and rebellious. Think about how selfish we are. Amen? And we want what we want and not what God wants. Isn't that the way it is? In Ephesians 2:1, one of my great verses I love, "And you hath he quickened and made alive," that's what the word quickened means, "who were dead." We were dead in trespasses and in sin. Now, he said that to the believers at the church in Ephesus, Paul did, when he wrote that letter. He said, you were dead, but God has quickened you. He's made you alive. I wonder how many people in the world today realize they're walking around dead. I suspect very few, if any, realize they're all dead without Christ. Dead without Christ. Dead to God. This means we're spiritually dead, dead to God. And the rioters, the oppressed protesters, the drunks, the dopers, the adulterers, and fornicators, and liars are all acting normal. Because they're dead to God. They're acting out what they are. Dead. No spiritual life. Separated from God. We do not know God or even want to follow God before salvation. One of the first things we have when we hear about being saved is, "I'm not ready yet. I don't feel like it. I'm going to wait a little bit longer. I can't hold out. I'm going to wait just before I die. Then I'm going to get saved." It don't work like that, folks. So Jesus in Ephesians 2:3 tells us, or Paul does, that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What does that mean? That means that we're subject for God's wrath to fall on us because we're dead to God. We have no spiritual life. And that's the condition of most of the people in the world right this moment. But very few realize they're walking around dead, condemned. And only the breath they're getting now keeps them out of hell. So Jesus tells us we must be born again. Our flesh birth was into a race of sinners. Do you have children? You brought a sinner into the world. Now you're going to be responsible for teaching that little sinner to know about Jesus Christ. You're going to be held accountable for how you have raised your children. Have you exposed them to God and God's Christ? Told them of God's love and salvation through Jesus. If we would leave church right now and go out into our communities, you'd be surprised at the children on this beautiful day that's out playing. Mom and dad's probably in the bed asleep or drunk or on drugs. pitiful, isn't it? We're spiritually blind and dead, not even realizing our true condition before our Creator. And that's man, that's man, that's man. You know what man generally think? Well, God loves me. Yeah, well, of course He does. He loves everybody. But that won't save anybody. God doesn't save by love as such. This is why the Word of God is so important, to tell us of our true condition before God. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm dead. We can know a lot about God without knowing God. The Apostle Peter tells us of our present condition after we are born again in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can be made alive. There is no other way to be made alive. We're talking about being made alive unto God. And because God raised Jesus Christ, He quickened Jesus who was dead in a tomb and brought Him back to life. So when you are saved, you are made alive unto God. So you can know God and love God and serve God and one day live with God. We cannot cause the new birth by anything we do. You hear me? We cannot cause the new birth by anything we do. God causes the new birth. Jesus said that we won't see the kingdom of God if we're not born again. Not even see it. And we cannot make ourselves be born again by doing anything. So apart from God, we're spiritually dead in our selfishness and rebellion. And we're good for nothing and fit for hell. You must be born again. Ephesians 2:3 again. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. Look at man in general, his attitude, his actions. And we can see the truth of God's Word. Today, most people live like they want to live with no fear of God. Man's rebellion is so deep he cannot desire the glory of Christ because he thinks he will miss the fun in life. Goes back to what we said earlier. I'm going to wait till just before I die, then I'm going to get saved. I don't want to miss out on the fun. Let me tell you something. Let me enlighten y'all a little bit. I'm having more fun than I've ever had in my life and have had for a long time. Being saved is the best place to be. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, here's man's problem. 2 Corinthians 4:4 should have this marked in your Bible. In whom the god of this world, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you're not saved, here's why. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan works overtime to keep people from believing. He's going to do anything he can to keep people away from the Lord, energizing every excuse they come up with. So if we're going to be born again, it depends completely and ultimately on God. Only God can raise the dead, church. His decision to make us alive will not be a response to what we as spiritual corpses do, but what we do will be a response to His making us alive. When one gets saved, he acts different, he thinks different, he is different. Jesus tells us how we are made aware of our spiritual need. Turn to John chapter 16, beginning at verse 7. John 16, beginning at verse 7. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, here's what the Holy Spirit does to a world in darkness. He will reprove the world of sin, or convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Great day, what Jesus just told his disciples. How important it is to believe in Jesus, folks. He is the appointed Savior of men by God Himself. Here is why God makes us alive. Turn to Ephesians 2 now, and 4 and 5 will tell you why God makes us alive, why He chooses to save us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive. That's what the word quicken literally means, made alive. We were dead, but He's quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. We're alive with Jesus now. By grace ye are saved. Well, what a scripture. Undeserving, unmerited, but saved by grace because of the love of God provided to us in Jesus Christ, church. A saved person has been made alive by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that's His work, to make alive that dead sinner in his sins, who cannot save himself by being religious, by any works he does, by any effort he makes. He cannot change his condition of being dead before God. Only the Holy Spirit can quicken and make alive. What happens in the new birth is not getting religion, but getting new life. We've been discussing this morning in Sunday school about how the religious leaders treated Stephen. They had religion, but look what religion did. It stoned a righteous man full of the Holy Ghost. What happens in the new birth is experiencing the supernatural in yourself. Something happens within that you had nothing to do with by an act of the Holy Spirit. What happens in the new birth is the creation of a new human nature. A new nature. A nature that is really new. It's not a made over. It's a new nature. And it is formed by the Holy Spirit of God when one believes the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe the gospel. Well, what is that? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did. If you can't accept that, realize it, you're a guilty sinner, you can't be saved. You got to know you're lost. You can't get saved till you know you're lost. That's why the man in the temple beat his breast and would not even look up, but held his head down and cried, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." An old proud Pharisee over there was praying, "Lord, look at me. I fast, I pray, I give tithes." He went home just as lost as he was when he came. But that old sinner went home justified, saved by the grace of God. You got to know you're lost and hellbound if you're going to be saved. That's a requirement. Let me tell you something else. Our new nature, when you were born again, is protected. And Peter tells us about it in 1 Peter 1:5. When we are born again, Peter says, we are kept by the power of God through faith. And these people that worry about, "Well, I'm afraid I can't hold out." You can't. But he holds us. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So don't worry about losing your salvation. If you're saved, you can't lose it. Because God has his seal. And you know what God's seal is? It's the Holy Spirit himself. Who can break the Holy Spirit's seal? None. None. Praise God. Let's talk about regeneration a little bit. Regeneration, that's a big old 88-cent Bible word, ain't it? It means reborn, especially in a spiritual or moral sense. That's what the word regeneration means. And that's when you're saved, you're regenerated. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to regenerate, make that is dead alive. So, when you hear the gospel about Jesus as the Savior and you're willing to accept him, what all is involved is the Holy Spirit at work, taking the Word of God that you have heard and giving you enough faith to believe. God always gives enough faith for one to believe if they'll utilize that faith. It don't take a lot of faith to get saved. God gives you enough. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You'll get enough faith if you just exercise that faith. Just exercise. The spiritual change in the heart of man by the Holy Spirit, in which the sinful nature is changed, so that one can respond to God in faith and live in accordance with his will. Did you hear what I just said? The spiritual change in the heart of man by the Holy Spirit, in which the sinful nature is changed, so that one can respond to God in faith and live in accordance with his will. Titus 3:5. Oh, please go to Titus 3:5 and make sure this is marked in your Bible. Paul wrote to a young preacher by the name of Titus. And this is what he said in Titus 3:5. "Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration," that is, rebirthing us, "and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Praise God. Amen. Just deciding to join the church is not salvation. Just deciding to join the church and be baptized is no salvation. And look at the churches that sprinkle people and put them on the church roll and they assume they're saved. No such thing. You got to be born again, Jesus said. They've got to go through this regeneration process, being made alive by the Spirit of God by faith in Jesus Christ, period. The regenerate man has forever ceased to be the man he was. His life, his old life is over and a new life has begun. He is a new creature in Christ. You saved, you are a new person. You are a new person. You may look like everybody else down the road, but you're new in the sight of God. You have a spiritual nature alive unto God because of your faith in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite scriptures, and I know y'all have already got this one marked because I've told you many times, mark that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or any person be in Christ, you can't be in Christ unless you're saved. He is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me tell you folks this morning something. This wonderful. God don't even remember your past. God don't remember your sin. I mean, he don't even remember them. Preacher, he's talking to you too. Amen. God don't remember anything of the past once you get saved. And from that point on, now, God's going to judge you one day as to no sin, but to how faithfully you serve him. So how faithfully you serve in the Lord? How committed to the Lord are you? I don't know, but God knows. God knows. And on Judgment Day, it'll be determined and decided how much of a reward you get, or if you get a reward. There won't be any mention for sin, but we might be ashamed before him because we were not faithful. But sin's not the subject for Christians. Somebody ought to say amen. Why won't we be judged for our sin, preacher? Because they were put on Jesus and he paid for all of them. Amen? And God don't require it to be paid for again. Amen? Amen. Amen. The word regeneration is the instantaneous change from spiritually dead to spiritual life. And let me give you an illustration of how fast that can work, if I might. The Saul of Tarsus, he stood there approving of Stephen's death. Later on, he gets permission from the priest to go and persecute other Christians in Damascus, Syria, where we're fighting right now, the terrorists and Islam. Saul is on his way, Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul, the apostle. And he gets near to Damascus and said, the Lord confronts him. And the bright light was so stunning it fell to the earth. And you know what he said? Lord! He got saved that fast. That's how fast you get saved. When you call on the Lord, admitting you're wrong and he's right. That's what it amounts to. That's what Saul realized. I've been wrong with this religion I've been practicing. I've been wrong with what I believe. He recognized that instantly, and when he said, Lord, he got saved that fast. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For God that can save you and save you with an everlasting salvation, by the way. You're not going to lose it, not if you're saved. I don't care what some idiot teaches or preaches, you ain't going to get lost if you've been saved. You're being kept by the Lord, not by anything you do. You're kept by the Lord. He's got His seal on you. You're His. He's bought you. He's paid for you. He's going to take you home one day. So love Him now. Serve Him now. Be faithful to Him now. Tell your children about Him now. This means that all sin is gone when you get saved. You got a clean slate, and you're as if you've never ever sinned. There's no more condemnation. We have been justified, and we also have something else. We have eternal life. Amen? You know why we have eternal life? Because we have the life of Christ. We have Christ's life, folks. Amen? Praise the Lord. This only means of regeneration by faith is in the finished work of Christ on the cross. There's no other way to get saved except believing on the one that died on the cross, who was the Son of God, the Lamb of God, that laid down His life for the sins of the world, that whosoever believeth in Him would have everlasting life. No amount of good works of keeping the law can regenerate the heart of man. To be regenerated, one must have faith to believe the gospel. Romans 1:16, one of my great verses again. Thank you, Lord. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. Amen? So anyone can be saved. Anyone can go to heaven. All they got to do is recognize I'm lost, and I need a Savior, and Jesus is the one that died for me. Again, salvation is instantaneous. Let me give you a little kind of humorous testimony that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. wrote in his book, a little booklet that he published many years ago. Dr. Bob Jones was the founder of Bob Jones University, very strict Bible college. Here's what he said. The Holy Spirit feels the sinner's pulse, looks at the sinner's tongue, takes the sinner's blood pressure, listens to the sinner's heartbeat, and says to the sinner, you are a poor lost sinner. The Holy Spirit, after doing this, recommends a physician. And the only physician He ever recommends to a sinner is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the lost men of all generations. Amen? Amen. Yeah, the Holy Spirit knows our spiritual condition today. He knows whether you're saved or not saved. He knows whether you're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ or you're not. He will not be fooled by anyone. By miracle of regeneration, the soul is newly begotten and granted eternal life. It's a birth from above. We had a birth from below because of our mom and dad. But that will not get us to heaven. That just made us one member of the human family that's sinners. But God is calling out of this world a people to be His people for eternity, and He's offered salvation to everyone who will accept the work of His Son on the cross to pay for their sins. The necessity of regeneration is because man is so vile and so evil. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the prophet wrote, and who can know it? The Bible says the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Think about God looking down amongst the peoples of the world to see if there's anybody seeking Him. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, not even one. Psalms 14, verses 2 and 3. Here's how God views man in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, beginning at verse 10, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. This is 1,000 years after the psalmist said the same thing. And still there's no one that's seeking after God. Did you know? Listen to me, church. Did you know you wouldn't seek God if God hadn't dealt with you? If you hadn't heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit come and begin to convict you and draw you to Christ, you wouldn't have been saved either. Neither would I. They've all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. This is the human family being described. Their throat is an evil, is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouths is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the way God sees the human family. And if God had not been gracious enough to let His Son die on the cross to pay for our sin, and then He sent the Holy Spirit to convict us and to draw us to Christ and to give us enough faith to believe if we'll apply that faith in the good Word of God. You see how God and what God has did to rescue us because He loves us so much? And yet, we can be so unfaithful to the Lord. We can be so unthankful to the Lord. We could neglect the Lord so much, but His love is so great, so wonderful. Even God doesn't try to change the old human nature. Do you know God can do anything? He can't change the human nature. You must be born again. You're dead. God can't use the dead. But He can make you a new creation. Instead, the Holy Spirit enables the sinner to believe on Christ. He then creates within him a brand new nature and imparts to him spiritual and everlasting life. Praise God, folks. So this is so we can know God, love God, serve God, and one day live with God. You know, I lay in bed at night, and in the daytime too, I think about this. How is it going to be when we get there? How is it going to be? All I can say is it's going to be wonderful, but I'm still trying to figure it out, though. I'm like the old cat. I'm curious. Amen? Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. I quoted a while ago. This new life is the life of Christ that we have. Because he lives, he said we would live. And we begin to enjoy that now when we accept him. No one can live the Christian life either without Christ. Let's talk about the flesh. You got flesh? Feel your flesh. You got flesh? While we are born again, we still live in a sinful, corrupt body of flesh, and it's not been changed. Now, it's changing by age. Amen. It's changing by age. But the nature of this flesh is not changed. Our fleshly body must be brought under control by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. This book is so important, more important than I can make you understand. That's how important this book is, to help you control this flesh. It took me a long time to understand that. But this book is given to help you control this flesh, along with the Holy Spirit. Our fleshly body must be under the control of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And when we hear the gospel, we're given enough faith to be saved if we will believe. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the good Word of God. When we meet people who have no interest in salvation, listen to me, or being right with God, it's because the Holy Spirit is not dealing with them. Or else they have quenched the Holy Spirit and he has left them. And that is a sad way to be if God's Spirit's not dealing with someone. We must remember our flesh is corrupt. And our spirit is dead until we are saved. So when we are made alive or born again, we still maintain that corrupt flesh nature because the flesh is not changed. It's still corrupt. Paul said at the rapture, we're going to put off these corruptible bodies. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 15, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. We've got to have a change in our body one day. That's going to be resurrection morning, folks, when these bodies are changed. And this mortal must put on immortality. We're all mortals. We're going to die. We're going to put on immortality. This coming day, we're going to live forever with a glorified body. That will be an eternal body, and nobody will have sinus problems or clogged up vessels. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. When that day comes, and I believe it's real close now. This is why in Romans chapter 6 we're told this. Now here's a chapter, Romans chapter 6, that deals with the flesh. The flesh, the way it wants to act. Romans chapter 6, I'd encourage you to read that, study that. Because it warns us about allowing the desires of our flesh to control us. And even if we're a Christian and we don't heed the Word of God, we can allow the flesh nature to mess up our life and cause us to lose many blessings of God because we let the flesh run our life rather than the Spirit of God. I'm just telling you like it is. Like it is. In Romans 6, beginning at verse 11, I'm going to share several verses with you here. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Realize you're a Christian, and you're not supposed to live in sin anymore. Cursing, lying, cutting a fool, disobeying God. We're not supposed to do that anymore. We've trusted Christ. Now we're to follow after Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members to as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. May I pause here and ask you? You don't have to raise your hand or say a word. Just ponder this in your heart. Have you ever gave yourself to God? Have you ever offered up to God like on a platter your whole self and said, God, here I am, I'm nothing? If you haven't, you missed the best day of your life. You missed the best day of your life. Give yourself to God. You can trust Him. Whatever He asks you to do, you can do it because He'll help you. He'll help you. I was scared to death. But it took me a while. Finally, that day came many years ago. I'm not a talker as such. Speaker. But I have more to say than I can get said. I don't know, something happened to me when the Lord accepted me. Give yourself to the Lord. That'll be a day you won't ever regret. And if you don't do it, you will regret it. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there and done that. But you yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6, 11 through 14. Listen, you can live without deliberately sinning. Now, sometimes we sin in our very ignorance. But we don't have to plan to sin. We can live a victorious life for the Lord. So we are to learn to live like the Bible says, and not how our flesh desires or demands. I've said this many times. We come out here to church on Wednesday evening at 6:30. I miss supper when I do that, Brother Chavis. But when I go back uptown, everybody's at the eating joints. They're eating. But you know, I found out something. I didn't starve while I was out here. I didn't even starve. It's a matter of putting first things first. That's what it is. What's first? What's most important? What do I need most? Do I need my belly filled with man's bread? Or my heart and soul in love with Jesus Christ and want to be around His people that I love and respect? A born-again person is not perfect in the flesh, but his soul and spirit is perfect. Did you know if you're born again, your soul is perfect? Your spirit is perfect. It won't ever get no more perfect. Did you know that? Why? You have a new nature. is eternal. Amen? Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, 1 Peter 2:11. So, when one is born again, they have a new nature, and it is the life of Christ. A born-again person is now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have a friend with us now, wherever we go. And I would advise you to call on him when you're traveling the highway. A born-again person is going to live in heaven one day forever. Amen. A born-again person is to live for the Lord because the Lord has purchased him for himself. You are a saved person. You no longer belong to yourself. You are the Lord's property. And he's your master and my master. And we're to live to please him. Are we listening? We're to live to please the Lord. The question is, are you born again? Do you know you're born again? Or just religious? Do you know you've asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin and asked Jesus to be your Savior? That's the bottom line. Jesus said this, ye must be, or you won't even get to see the kingdom of heaven. Father, we tried to share your word. We tried to encourage, challenge, inform, instruct, because we love our people. And you love us all so much. Christ died on an awful cross for our awful sin. Speak to every heart. Challenge every heart. Should there be one without Christ, oh God, disturb them, convict them, draw them to the Savior. And Lord, just have your way with us because we belong to you. In Jesus' precious, saving name, amen and amen. May the Lord speak to heart this morning. As we've tried to share God's word, you take it and whatever he speaks to you about today. Maybe you know someone that needs salvation. Come pray for them. Maybe someone needs to put a name in the salvation box today. Come, put their name in.